I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up next week on Only a Game, stories about items indispensable to athletic success, coffee makers, for example. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our discussion of this week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
The Diddy, formerly known as P. Diddy, wants to buy the Carolina Panthers. Colin Kaepernick wants to be part of Diddy's ownership group. I guess that's one way to get a job as a quarterback.
I think that would be so great. I would actually cover the first owners meeting where they all have to sit down with Colin Kaepernick and Diddy.
While the Panthers wait to see who will next own the team, Tina Becker is going to serve as the club's chief operating officer, which, as I understand it, is pretty much the only job she has not previously held with the team.
Yeah, it looks like she's worked her way up to the top job.
Absolutely.
And just was waiting around for the idiot owner to do something that everybody knew was coming sooner or later, that he was going to do something so stupid that it would cost him the team.
The Clemson City Council announced this week that if the Clemson University football team makes it to the national championship game on January 8th, the South Carolina city will suspend open container laws because nobody would be obeying them anyway.
That's exactly what's going on. The police, this is a day where the police want to work as little as possible.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Kehlani Nava booted 9 extra points for Strawn School in the Texas Class 1A six-man Division II championship game on Wednesday. This was in Dallas. Her team won the game 78-42. Did you catch the pronoun use there?
Yes. How about that?
Yeah.
Good for Kehlani. Hopefully she'll get a scholarship ride out of this.
First female to play in a Texas title game, and when she had the opportunity, she made the most of it.
Yes, she did. We're working our way up through the various descriptors in Texas football, I see.
Exactly. Hall of Fame broadcaster Dick Enberg passed away on Thursday, Charlie. He was 82. Any remembrances you'd like to share about him?
First of all, he was a great, great broadcaster. Second of all, he was probably one of the nicest men who ever lived. And he will always be, in my memory, teamed with Al McGuire on college basketball.
Mm-hmm. The logo that's going to be worn by athletes from Russia at the Winter Olympics was revealed this week. Charlie, would you like to describe it to our listeners? I don't think it'll take very long.
It looks like an old-time gasoline station sign.
Yes, it does.
It's a circle. It starts with Olympic athlete from Russia,
mm-hmm.
which is very generic, I think.
They could have
at least had it in Russian.
That's kind of the point, though. The logo for the 2018 World Chess Championships was also revealed this week.
Oh,
and
my.
I would ask you to describe that in detail for our listeners. But if you did, it might provoke the premature end of two promising careers in radio.
Yeah, I'm telling you what. This brings Knight to Queen 6 into a whole new level.
Oh, I know. Yes. Attention must be paid to two coaches of women's basketball teams. This week, Gino Auriemma presided over win number 1,000 at UConn, and North Carolina's Sylvia Hatchell did the same.
Yeah, that's terrific. But I've got to tell you, I thought Gino Auriemma went over 1,000 wins years ago.
Yeah, I think the remarkable thing about Gino Auriemma is he's got 1,000 wins and 11 losses.
Yeah.
No, that's wrong, no. But it's close.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems to me like this is a landmark he must have gone by 5 years ago.
I know, I hear you. Among Division I coaches, only the late Pat Summitt of Tennessee and Stanford's Tara Vanderveer had previously reached and surpassed the 1,000 victory mark, as has some guy named Krzyzewski at Duke with a men's team. 4 coaches of women's basketball have gotten there, 1 of men's. How come?
Well, because there was a competitive imbalance in women's basketball for a long, long time.
Kyle O'Quinn has been having a pretty good season with a Knicks team that's a little better than most folks thought it would be. He's also pursuing a part-time career, perhaps in case the pro basketball thing doesn't last. What's he up to?
He's been hiring himself out to do bar mitzvahs.
He's the tallest man in every bar mitzvah.
Today I am a man, but this one is really big.
The New York Islanders have been playing in Brooklyn's Barclays Center since 2015 after decades at Long Island's Nassau Coliseum. But Brooklyn's going to lose them just like they lost the Dodgers 60 years ago, I guess. Maybe not just like that.
Yeah, they're going to build a new arena on the grounds of the Belmont Racetrack. It's still not going to make me nostalgic for Uniondale, whatever they do.
There is still fighting in hockey, Charlie.
I love this.
Even in the Austrian Pro Hockey League. Last Sunday, Tom Zanoski and Chris D'Souza squared off during an intermission interview. Come on, boys.
First of all, the video is wonderful. People should seek it out. Second of all, the intermission reporter took a butt end.
Yeah.
One of the two players, I couldn't figure out who is which, apparently missed and hit the reporter.
You know, I got to wonder if anybody else is reminded of the opening scene from Slapshot, where the goalie is explaining to the announcer all the penalties.
Yes.
And he stabs him with a stick and he whacks him across the knee.
That's right.
Finally.
Merry Christmas, Charlie Villanueva.
Condolences to that former NBA player, Charlie Villanueva. He was the victim of an exceedingly grinchy trick this week. What did he lose when the burglars got into his house? Jewelry, irreplaceable family photographs?
All of his home appliances, Bill, including the toilet. Now, this was a very elaborate burglary, you have to admit.
The fella brought tools with him.
Yeah, I guess he did, and considerable plumbing skills.
And muscle. You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce in Sports Illustrated from time to time. And, of course, he joins me each week on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Bill. Merry Christmas.